Well, it happens that the king's hawkers, the men with the hawks or the falcons, lose a hawk. A falcon flies away and won't come back. And they try to tempt it back by putting food out. And Wolfram, who the poet, who is something of an aristocrat himself, he says, this comes from overfeeding your hawks. So here's this poor hawk flying around in the woods. It's a young hawk, and it's a little frightened. And he senses a campfire somewhere, and he flies to that campfire. And guess whose it is? It's Parsifal. So there's Parsifal in the woods, and the hawk in the woods. Arthur's caught looking for both, you might say. That night, it's the very, very end of winter. No, it's the very, the very end of winter. There's a light snow. Parsifal rides his horse in the morning, and the hawk follows him. And a whole flock of geese fly up, and the hawk goes at them and hits one of the geese and draws blood, and the blood drops on the snow. And when Parsifal sees that blood on the snow, three red drops on the pure white snow, he thinks of Contwerimor's two white red cheeks and red lips on the white of her skin. And fascinated in the dream of Contwerimor's, he stands there on his horse, looking at the snow. And this is when dawn comes in the camp of King Arthur. And one of the pages looks out, and he sees this knight on a horse there, gazing at the snow. And he comes rushing into the camp and says, Arthur's whole round table is disgraced. There's an enemy here trampling down your tent ropes. So the whole camp wakes up in commotion, and one young man, the nephew, one of the nephews of King Arthur and Queen Guinevere, goes rushing into their tent, pulls the bedclothes off the king and queen who are lying there in bed, and says, let me be first. So Arthur, laughing, lets him go, and this youth rides out full tilt at the knight who is gazing at the snow. Well, the knight's horse, this wonderful Castilian, he knows his business. When this knight is approaching, the horse turns to charge him, and the vision being broken, Parsifal comes to, holds his lance, boom, the young knight's on the ground, sprawling, and the horse turns back, and Parsifal's again looking at the So the next one who comes is Sir Kay, that seneschal who had beaten up the girl. And he comes riding, and exactly the same. Automatically, the horse turns, and bing, and as Wolfram says, the girl's Conuara's back was well avenged. Kay ended up with a broken leg between a broken saddle and a rock, with his horse beside him, dead. And Parsifal's back looking at the snow. So then Gawain, the ladies' knight, the gentle knight, comes without a weapon. And he sees the knight looking at the snow. And he says, what if it should be a love dream? I've had many. So he just takes a light scarf, a silken scarf, and tosses it gently between the eyes and the vision. And Parsifal comes out and says, where is she? You know, he looks around. Where's my lance? Well, his lance had been broken on Kay. And Gawain tells him what has happened, calms him down, and says, you're invited to King Arthur's court. So he brings him to the court, and Gawain is thus the one who introduces. Now, Gawain's a very important character in this story. He does not appear in Wagner at all. Gawain is a ladies' knight. He is the counterpart of Parsifal. Parsifal's young. This is an older, sophisticated man, a very gracious man who is a man of the world. And Gawain's adventure, which we're going to get this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is in balance and counterplay to Parsifal's. Parsifal's is that of the ideal of life, the youth who, for heaven's sake, meets just the right girl at just the right moment that way. Gawain never did. So Gawain is the rest of us, you might say, in the world. Well, he conducts this brilliant youth to Arthur's court. He's received in great glory and all, and the king decides, well, we will celebrate this arrival with a round table party. So they set a big silken cloth of oriental manufacture in a circle on the grass, and all the knights and ladies sit around, and they're ready for the feast. But it's a custom of King Arthur never to commence a feast on a day unless an adventure occurs. So they're sitting around the round table, round cloth on the table, waiting for an adventure. When, what do you know, the adventure does appear. Down the way, a tall mule with a strange figure in black riding on it approaches. And this is Kundry the Sorceress. She rides around and then stops before King Arthur and abuses him, says the court is disgraced. And she takes off her veil, and what do you see? You see a hog's face. She has great tusks. Her eyebrows are braided out and tied to her hat strings. Her hands are like a monkey's. She's a horrible creature. She is the Grail messenger. She is a strange creature from the Orient, from the land of Zazamanc, and so forth. Well, what she finally does is abuse Parsifal. She says, you are disgraced before the world. Now, the abuse he received from Siguna was private to himself. Now it's published to the world. And she says, you are cursed to hell. You are cursed among mankind. And Arthur's court is destroyed by your very presence here. And she shames him. And then she says, and what knight will now go on adventure to release 400 maidens and 4 queens from enchantment in the Castle of Marvels? Well, that's going to be Gawain's adventure. Parsifal has been disgraced. Before the world, he had worked to achieve. He was the knight of the world, and yet, because of his failure in a superior adventure to that of becoming a member of the court, he's disgraced in the court. He resolves he will depart to achieve the Castle of the Grail again and heal the king. Gawain is going to depart to this Castle of Marvels adventure. And Gawain comes to Parsifal, and they are going to bid each other goodbye as they ride forth on adventure. And Gawain says, I commit you to God. And Parsifal says, I despise and hate God. He says, I have served God, and he has not been loyal. In other words, he is applying human values, the courtly values, the highest values of his time, to God. And this is improper. But he now rides forth, having renounced the God of his mother, having renounced the God of his culture, in express hatred of that God, on adventure. And he's going to be 5 years in the desert of his soul. The world become a desert through him, and himself become a desert through him, in quest. This is the beginning of the Grail quest. Everything up to this point has taken place in the way of nature, spontaneously. His character has carried him through, but his desire to fill the world's image, to achieve fame and maintain fame in the world, has cut him down at the high point, and he's lost both the spiritual and the earthly careers. And it's in this case that he sets forth on his great adventure, while Gawain rides forth on his. Now that is point one of our story.
I have this one.